A new film screening series at the historic Plaza Theater in downtown El Paso brings back the glory of popular Mexican films this Saturday and recounts the story of the Calderon brothers and their legacy as cinema impresarios. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. The Cine Fantastico film series returns to the Plaza Theater today with three free film screenings of important and popular Mexican films. Viviana Garcia Besne is the descendant of three generations of filmmakers and oversaw the restoration of the films and will present them on the region's biggest screen. I'm delighted to have her back in the studio this morning. Good morning.
Thank you. Thank you, Charles, again for having me here.
Of course. You've just flown in from Mexico City to present these three films and do a few other things. These films are from three different parts of your family tree. Before we get into the films themselves, I thought we should back up and set the stage for us how your great-grandfather and great-great-uncles made it to El Paso, began their careers building movie theaters, and how they got into the film business.
Well, to do this very quickly, because it's a very long story.
I know.
Yes. My family, it's from the border, you know. Sometimes they were living in Juarez, but sometimes they were living in El Paso because they used to trade goods. So they were very used to come from the U.S. to Mexico. That was very easy for them.
This is the early 1900s, almost 100 years ago.
Even further away, you know, like late 1800s,
there
I will
go.
Say. Yes. And at some point, they were working on the railroad, and the job took them to Missouri for the 1904 World Fair, and they discover cinema there, and they just fall in love with it, and they decided that they had to bring that to their towns. And with a lot of effort, they were able to put together a cinema in Chihuahua, and that's how they started. And, you know, very quickly they realized that the productions that were arriving from Hollywood were really successful. But when the sound came, that changed because Mexicans couldn't understand English and they knew that they had to move forward to do something else and start producing films that the Latino audience will understand. And that's what they did. And the first film that we're going to show, it's La Llorona. And this is a historical film. It's very important. It's from 1933. It's the first horror sound film made in Mexico. And this film was not made like by big producers. This film was made by movie theater owners from the north part of Mexico City that decided that they had to put together money to bring to the audience the big legends of Mexico. And of course, La Llorona, it's a legend that's still alive. You know, how many Llorona films we had last year?
Right. And every kid has been scared along the border by tales of La Llorona.
Yeah.
The legacy of your great-grandfather and great-great-uncles continues up through your grandfather, who made the Santo films, the first Santo films, which you'll be showing one of those. But I wanted to back up to the movie theaters, because I think a lot of El Pasoans know that the Colón Theater, which was one of the Calderón brothers' theaters, was the premier place in El Paso to see Spanish-language films. And your family used to bring in directors and stars for debuts, and I've seen photographs of crowds on the streets welcoming the biggest Mexican stars. At one time, how many theaters did they have in the area?
36. Yes, 36. You know, I think in the family there are, I think right now, only two of us that we have followed the tradition around cinema. My cousin who lives here in El Paso, Melissa, she's doing an incredible work. And if you ever want to know more about the movie theaters in the U.S., that were owned by the Calderón, you should bring her to
find Melissa
talk.
Hudson.
Yes. You know, the stories about these movie theaters and how much these theaters actually influence in the kind of cinema that was produced in Mexico, it's incredible.
Most unfortunately, many of those structures are gone. Fortunately, the Colón Theater is still there, but it's no longer a theater, but at least the structure is there. I was thinking that the legacy and the films and the papers, though, of your family and their long history of both movie theater ownership as well as film production might have disappeared, too, if it weren't for your small, tenacious archive that's just outside of Mexico City. You've collected a lot of their films as well as their papers?
Yes, I've done that. You know, I think we have divided efforts, and I have been collected in Mexico everything that I can for the last more than 15 years I have already been collected papers and films that are related to the family. And Melissa Hudson has been doing the same thing over here in El Paso, Texas. So between both of us, we can really have the proper archive of what the Calderón did, because they were not only successful in Mexico, they were also very successful in the U.S. And they really influenced on the cinema that was made in Hollywood and in Mexico City.
I think it's a fascinating story that they began as theater owners, and as they made films, as you say, they were distributing these films out of Mexico to hundreds of Spanish language theaters around the U.S. Is that right?
Yeah. At some point, there were 500 movie theaters in the U.S. that only show films in Spanish, which is extraordinary.
So there's this fascinating creative, artistic, cultural feedback loop where audiences in the U.S., Spanish language audiences, are influencing the kinds of films that are being produced in Mexico, which in turn are going back out to Mexico and the U.S. And we're right in the center of all of that.
Exacto, exacto. And it is a delight to bring back these films to the audience, because, as I said before, you know, these films were made to appeal to the taste of the audience. It was the audience who was deciding what they wanted to see. And my family were producing films for them. So I think what an honor to be able to bring back these films to the community, and what an incredible honor to have been blessed by the community of El Paso to make this work. I'm thrilled. I'm very grateful.
Last year's Cine Fantastico was an inaugural event to see how this might go, the screening, but it also, there was a private fundraiser attached to that, and you were lucky enough to raise enough money last year to actually go and restore some films, which you're debuting this year at Cine Fantastico. Let's get into the films. You've already mentioned La Llorona, which will be presented at 1 p.m. today at the Plaza Theater. And we should note, everything is for free. So anybody that has an interest should come down, because it's just, the doors are wide open. But La Llorona from 1933, that was your great-grandfather's generation. He was the one that was one of the producers that made that film. As you mentioned, it's culturally significant for being the first sound Mexican horror film. Our family's going to be okay with this. It's not horror with a big H, we should say.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a film. And you know, all three films were made for the family.
General audiences.
Yeah, everybody can come and see this film. You know, I love the way that films were made before at that time. You know, like, everybody will be enjoying the experience. Is not like these films are for boys, these films are for girls or for 40 years old. You know, these films really will make a great experience for everyone. And this is a different experience. You have to understand that going to see these films is not like going to a film festival where you have to be super quiet and you don't bring kids. No, no, no. This is the opposite.
I know you like interactive
You come here,
audiences.
Yeah, people interact with the film. You get a laugh because somebody laugh or talk. And yeah, you interact with the film.
La Llorona itself, this is a very special screening in that I believe you restored it from the only known film print of this.
Yeah, the film was in a very bad shape, and you can still see that even though we did a restoration. You can still see how beaten up the print has been, but it's the only material available. But it's so, so important, you know, and I'm going to dedicate some special time to introduce this film properly, because I really need the people to understand how much work was behind this film, how incredible it is that this film still exists. And,
yes.
And for that, I'm going to take some time to explain to people what's behind the film.
Then at 4 p.m., we jump ahead 25 years to the second Santo film made, starring the great El Santo, which has become a worldwide superstar. But that was made by your grandfather, the next generation.
Yeah, exacto. Yeah, and that film was made in Cuba. And for me, it's really strange that people doesn't jump to the idea of this film made in Cuba. It's completely surreal. What has Santo to do with a Cuba that was under the Cuban Revolution? There's also a story behind.
There's a story you'll tell at the theater about why your grandfather was blacklisted in Mexico and had to go to Cuba to make the film. But as you say, it documents Cuba literally in the moments before the revolution sweeps in.
Yeah. And this is something that we all need to understand. You know, these films are not only important because they were loved by the audience, but because there are also historical documents of its era.
Good point. I would say that the crowning achievement, though, as much as I'm looking forward to seeing La Llorona and the second Santo film, the 7 p.m. show, The Batwoman.
Yeah, wow.
That one has a special place in your heart. And there was a lot of local support here last year to raise the money to get this restored. So it's coming home to El Paso. Tell us about The Batwoman.
Well, this is an incredible film. I mean, I don't even know how to describe it. I just need you to come and see it for yourself. The restoration looks magnificent. We have done an incredible job. We all feel so very proud of it. And I am sure that the people that contributed to restore this film will also feel that proud. And it's a very fun film to watch.
It's a superhero film, basically.
It's a superhero.
Decades before Marvel.
It has the sea monster. This is one of Guillermo del Toro's favorite Mexican films, and you will see why it is. And the Batwoman is so incredible, beautiful. She is amazing, and I am sure like people can just go to enjoy and watch her on a bikini the whole 70 minutes that the film lasts.
In her bat costume.
Exacto. Yes, I don't know what to say about this film. It's so unique and it's so much fun.
This film, Batwoman, as well as the others, include locations that were sometimes family homes mm-hmm. of yours. They include faces of ancestors. I mean, what is that like to sit in a theater with an audience and see once again these faces of past generations from your family that are gone now, but they still exist on film?
Oh, it's super intense, you know. Like, I have personal stories with each one of these films that the people are going to watch now in the theater. And for me, it's amazing that I'm going to share not only the joy of the entertainment that these films are, but also I will tell personal stories about these films. And I feel very honored that I have been able to do this work. And I am here in the town from my ancestors to honor their legacy and to share it with the people here.
Fantastic. Well, I'm so glad you're here. And you'll be on the stage of the Plaza Theater all afternoon and evening for these three films. We should mention that Chalk the Block is going on all weekend, so people can bring their whole family down, enjoy Chalk the Block Arts Festival all around downtown, watch some movies, come and go, get some food. The Paso del Norte Community Foundation was a big part of this. I know you have a film fund there and you're raising more funds for the next set of restorations. Viviana, you're such an intrepid woman and you've done such amazing work with few resources to bring these films back to the world. I want to congratulate you on getting them back to El Paso and back on the big screen in front of audiences.
Thank you, Charles. And I need to tell everyone here that this only makes sense if you come and see these films. These films were made for you. So if you want to support our work, you need to come and see what we're doing. Next year, we will be able to restore the first sound film in Mexico, produced also by De Calderón, maybe the most important Mexican film ever.
We will look forward to that as well. I've been discussing today's Cine Fantastico celebration at the Plaza Theater with Viviana Garcia Besny, filmmaker, archivist, and special guest at Cine Fantastico. Garcia Besny will present three films made by different generations of her filmmaking family tree today: 1933's La Llorona, which was Mexico's first horror film and screens today at 1 p.m. The 1958 luchador classic Santo Contra Hombres Infernales will be presented at 4 p.m., starring the Mexican wrestler El Santo. And finally, and most colorfully, the 1968 superhero film The Batwoman will be celebrated this evening at 7 p.m. All films are free of charge and presented in Spanish with English subtitles. All have been recently restored by the Permanencia Voluntaria Film Archive, and you can support the archive with a donation to the archive's film fund at the Paso del Norte Community Foundation. On Film's producer is Seth Van Meter. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.